The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
I want to talk this morning about everyday heroes, because I believe that the people that respond in critical situations have to be everyday heroes. They have to have certain characteristics about their life and character that they live on a daily basis in order to respond properly when a tragedy or an emergency happens. And one of our teenagers, Laura, gave me this morning was while we were worshiping. She quoted Ezekiel 14, chapter 14, verse 13. Son of man, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread, send famine on it, and cut off man and beast from it. That's a warning to us that if we continue to turn our back on God and turn our back on the things that God desires for people to do and live, we're in big trouble. We can expect problems to mount and become worse and worse. That's why it's so very important that I've been talking recently about believers in Jesus Christ. Those who are godly people need to take on responsibility for building and growing and expanding in our society, so that the principles and the belief system of the Bible is incorporated into daily life, in our government, in our police force, in our judiciary system, in our political system, and in our fire networks throughout the United States, that people are doing what they do because they recognize that there is a call of God on their life. Recently, I heard a gentleman by the name of, see if I find his name here real quick, Deputy Chief Jay Jonas, and he was at 9/11, one of the towers, the North Tower, when it collapsed. And one of the things he said about being involved with the fire department, and he was a chief for the fire department, New York City, he said that most of the men that become firemen have a lifelong dream of doing that. They're motivated as children to become firemen. That's what they wanted to do. And I'm going to tell you something. That's as much of a call of God on a person's life as the call that I have on my life to pastor this church. If that's how you felt about being a police officer or whatever it is that God has placed you in and you're doing, and you have that kind of a desire for it, I'm going to talk about that. It's a passion that you have to have. And for first responders to be able to do what they do on a regular basis and deal with the issues and be able to reach people and touch people, they've got to have that kind of passion in their life. Well, we're going to talk about rescue a little bit. And we're going to talk a little bit about everyday heroes. Because I believe that everyday heroes become known heroes. They're the kind of people that step up when there's time, when there's a tragedy. They're the kind of people that step up when there's some kind of an accident, when there's problems. they step up because not because all of a sudden they've decided that they're going to do something wonderful, because every day of their life they've been living with these characteristics in their life, and it becomes just a way of life to step up and do the right thing. Everyday heroes rescuing people. Recently I heard about a story of a group of people who were on a luxury liner, cruise ship. And they were all standing around on the outside of the ship. And all of a sudden, a young lady fell in. Beautiful young lady fell into the ocean. And no sooner did she hit the water till one of the men jumped in right behind her, right in the water. But when they pulled them out, they found out that... The captain found out that this guy was 80 years old. And he jumped right in and took care of that lady. He wanted to honor him. So that night in a banquet hall, they had a great meal and they were honoring this man. And he said, would you please come up and say a few words? And the guy made his way to the podium in the front of the banquet hall in front of everyone. He took the microphone. He looked people over very carefully. And he said to them, there's something very important that I need to find out tonight. Which one of you suckers pushed me in? That is terrible. That's a terrible joke, isn't it? That's all right. I don't claim to be a stand-up comedian. Hallelujah. I want to talk a little bit about everyday heroes. And I do want to say a few things about what happened September the 11th, 2001. It resulted in nearly 3,000 deaths. And 400 of those were first responders. Approximately 2,000 first responders were also injured in the attacks. So they really put their life on the line. Up to that point, Deputy Chief Jonas said that the most men he had ever lost, that has ever been lost in a fire in New York, was 12. So when that happened, it was horrific. I don't have the exact number how many was lost in the fire department, but overall, over 400 people. Terrible tragedy that was brought on by evil. And the only way to stay evil, the only way to overcome such evil things, is to recognize that we have responsibility to do something good, to keep it off, to work to make good things happen. Edmund Burke said this. He said, all that is necessary for triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. And I believe that that is true. Good men have to stand up. Good men have to take their rightful position. Good people have to move in to positions of influence. Psalms 116, I believe it is, 115, 116. Psalms 115, verse 16. It says that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the evil are a rule, people groan. And we know that that is true. That's why it's important that the righteous, that good people, rise up and take their rightful position in society to touch people's lives, to make a difference for people. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 14, verse 8 through 16. I want to pull some character traits from this situation that I believe as a part of everyday heroes' lives. Genesis chapter 14, beginning with verse 8. And the king of Sodom, the king of Gomer, the king of Admah, the king of Zephaim, the king of Bela, went out and joined together in battle in the valley of Sidim. Against Kedorlaomer. I hope somebody can pronounce these names a little better than me. King of Elam. Tidal, king of nations. Amraphel, king of Shinar. And Arioch, king of Elasar. Four kings against five. Now the valley of Sidim was filled, was full of asphalt pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. Some fell there, and the remainder fled to the mountains. Then they took all the goods of the Sodom and Gomorrah and all their possessions and went their way. They also took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods and departed. Then one who had escaped came and told Abraham the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the Tiberinth trees of Mamre, the Amorite, brother Eshcol, the brother of Aner, and they were allies with Abram. Now when Abram heard that his brothers was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pushed them as far and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods as well as the women and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Sheveh, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. All right, first thing that I've already said that I want to pull from this, and that is first character trait of everyday heroes is passion, motivation that causes a person to do something that their logical mind would tell them not to do. It's something that you would do because you have a desire, an emotion that says, go do this. Rather than logically say, this is a good thing, this is what I should do, this is safe, this is okay. Passion is an emotion that's distinguished completely from reason. It's an intense drive, an overmastering feeling or conviction. When a person has a passion to do something, it doesn't matter how many people tell them they can't do it. It's impossible. You shouldn't be involved with that. If you have a passion to do something, you will do it. You will accomplish it. Now, here's something I want us to understand. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 44, Jesus said that if you desire to be first, you'll be the slave of all. Now, Jesus is not trying to take people's motivation away from being good and trying to accomplish things or rising to a new level. Jesus is merely trying to put things in perspective for all of us. That if you have that desire, your motivation has to be to serve other people. If you're in that position, if you desire to have a lofty position, your motivation has to be, you have to have a passion to serve others. Because only a passion to serve others will cause you to continue to move forward no matter what happens to you. You see, when Abraham was confronted with this situation, he had a small army. He had 300 and a few men beyond that, plus his allies. We don't know exactly how many total, but they had a small army compared to all these kings that he was fighting against. And yet, regardless of the odds, he made a choice that was motivated by his passion to go get Lot and save him. And he did it. You see, when you're motivated by passion, that's something God loves. People who are motivated by a passion to help others. Jesus said that the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So that's a number one, the most important characteristic that we need to have in our life is a passion for helping others and reaching others. Amen? Are you out there this morning? Is there anybody here? Okay. All right. Hallelujah. Just checking. Praise God. Abraham always put Lot first. You can check. Before Lot went off to Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham told Lot they were having a little bit of confusion between their men. Abraham said to Lot, "You choose the way you want to go." He loved him. He had a passion for him. And he went after him. And then when the angels came and they said, "We're going to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their evilness, all the evil that's going on there," Abraham pleaded with them for Lot. He was driven by that passion. I mentioned Deputy Chief J. Jonas of New York City Fire Department. He was a survivor of the collapse of the North Tower. Chief Jonas and his men were called in right after the plane hit the North Tower. And they were in the lobby. And they all gathered around in the lobby. And they knew. They had just heard that the plane had struck the South Tower as well. So they knew that it wasn't just an accident that this happened. They were under attack. Those men knew that their life was on the line. And in fact, one of the men said, they all looked at each other, said, "We may not get out of this thing alive." So they went around and shook each other's hands and wished each other good luck, and not in the form of expecting luck, but blessings. And then they proceeded up that stairwell into a hell, an inferno, not knowing exactly what to expect. That the reason they were able to do that is because they had a passion to help people. The second thing I want to share with you this morning: not only a passion to help people, but they were diligent about doing their job. Abraham's people were diligent. In verse 14, it says this: "Now when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus." They were diligent in staying on task, no matter what was going on around them. They were earnest and energetic. They saw that they had to put forth an effort, diligent effort, to accomplish what they needed to accomplish. The scripture, the difference between the distance that they confronted the enemy and they chased the enemy was 100 miles. Incredible. They were so diligent about doing their job, getting that enemy, that they were willing to chase them 100 miles to defeat them. His men were diligent about it. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 27, Jesus said this: "For the Son of Man shall come in his glory, in the glory of the Father, with his angels. And then he shall reward every man according to his work." Jesus said that every person is going to be rewarded according to the work. Now, I'm not preaching works salvation message here. You don't get into heaven by your works. But the scripture is very clear about the reality that you will be rewarded for your work.
That's right.
You will receive rewards And if you do not do what you're supposed to do, you can still get into heaven by receiving Christ as your personal Savior, but your reward will be nothing. I don't know about you, but I've got a big God and I want to please Him. I want to serve Him. That's why I'm doing what I do. To serve Him with all my heart, soul, and mind. To glorify Him, to lift Him up. Not. And that's got to be the same kind of motivation that comes from every one of us, no matter what we're doing. That will keep us diligent. Diligently doing what we're supposed to do. Chief Jonas said that he and his team, there was 13 of them. 13, I think it was including him. But 13 people that were under him, and they all went up. They made it as far as the 27th floor. And as they were up on the 27th floor, the building shook. And he sent somebody over to look out that side of the building, and he went to look out the other, and he said he went over and he couldn't see anything. It was just smoked up. He couldn't see a thing. And when they came back together, he asked his man what he saw, and the guy was just stunned. He couldn't speak, really. And finally, he got it out. He said the South Tower just fell. Now, they knew that the North Tower was hit before the South Tower. Their lives were in peril. He knew that his mission was aborted at that point, and he said to his men, "It's time for us to go. We got to get out." They didn't understand. They didn't know what had just happened completely. But he said, "It's time for us to go." So they started down the stairs, and they were making a pretty good pace going down the stairs. And as they were going down the stairs, he said, everywhere he looked, he saw firemen and people working and helping others. And he would say to them, as he passed them by, "Come on, so-and-so, it's time to go." And every one of them would respond basically the same way. "We're right behind you. Go on, we got to take care of this. We're right behind you." They were very diligent about the task that was at hand. They knew they had a job to do. One man who was up close to where the plane actually hit, he was ordered by his officials to leave the building. And he said, "I refuse those orders. We have multiple injuries, burn victims, and we're not leaving these people." They all perished together, but they were diligent about their job. The next thing I want to share with you is integrity. Verse 14 says, "Now when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his house and went in pursuit as far as Dan." He knew these guys. He knew he could depend on them. He knew that they were filled with integrity. He could count on them. In Luke chapter 3, verse 7 through 14, I'm not going to ask you to actually turn there, but, well, maybe I will. Let's do that. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 7. "Then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him," talking about John the Baptist, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which it does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." So the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" He answered and said to them, "He who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. Then tax collectors, publicans, also came to be baptized and said to him, Teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, Collect no more than what is appointed for you. Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, And what shall we do? So he said to them, Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. Jesus was teaching them, listen, be content with what you have. Receive. Don't take advantage of people because of your position. Recognize that you are a servant, not a lord. God has placed you there for a purpose. You are to be people of integrity that people can look at and say, I know they are here for our good. Being a person of integrity is utmost important because integrity will drive you in a situation like some kind of a disaster or something like 9/11 to always do the right thing. Deputy Chief Jonas said that as they were coming down the stairs, they got down to the 20th floor. And standing in one of the rooms as they descended, standing in the doorway, was a woman. And she was just crying. Now everything inside of him said, keep moving or you're all going to perish. But the integrity that he had wouldn't let him. This woman had been injured in an automobile accident a week or two before the attack. She was unable to move very well. Someone, one of her coworkers, had brought her down to that floor and then left her. They stopped, they took her, and they began to descend down the steps. Now, I'll tell you, what he said was, we now had gone from a very quick pace down those steps to a very slow pace. One step at a time to help her down. His integrity, though, wouldn't allow him to leave her behind, no matter what. And his men were 100% with him and behind him. If we have that kind of integrity in our life, we build on it on a daily basis. If we are confronted with situations that we don't have time to think about what's right and what's wrong, we will do the right thing. The last thing I want to share with you excellence. Verse 14 also says that these men were trained. Training is very important. I'm always telling people, this congregation, if you're not a part of this congregation, I'm always telling people, get as much knowledge as you can. Whatever you do, gain knowledge. The number one knowledge you need to have is the Word of God. The Word of God is your stable foundation. If you build everything else on the Word of God, you will become someone that other people look up to. Because you have the right foundation. So get that first foundation, the Word of God, and then whatever career, whatever you are involved in, whatever job you have, whatever career that you have chosen, no matter what it is, get as much knowledge as you possibly can so that you can be the most knowledgeable person about that situation, about that job, about that career. Because knowledge is power. It's important. And I know that the people who, police officers, fire departments, first responders of any kind, they have regular trainings that they have to go to. And they get knowledge on how to deal with situations and circumstances and accidents and all kinds of things that are a benefit to the general public. That's why it's so important that we recognize them, because they're putting forth a lot of effort to do what they do. Some of them absolutely don't. Some of them are not even being paid for what they do.
Well, now, that's right.
And those who are not being paid enough.
That's right.
You know, we have a lot of, we have things really messed up. You know, when we pay our athletes the way we pay them and pay our police officers and fire departments and people like that the way we pay them, we got some things messed up. No doubt about that. Praise God for those who recognize the importance of being trained properly. Excellence. That's part of excellence, getting proper training to become excellent. And I believe that if we live our everyday lives this way, that if we live our lives in such a way that we are excellent in what we do, that we have diligence, that we have passion, that we walk in integrity every day, that when we are confronted with an emergency of some kind, it will be easy to always do the right thing because it's a lifestyle. That's the way God wants us to live our lives, every day. Excuse me. In 1943, Bulgaria had aligned themselves with the Nazis. And at that time, the Nazis had sent a memo to Bulgaria that it was time for the final solution. And of course, most everyone knows what the final solution is. Wipe out the Jews. Now, when they sent this memo to the leaders of Bulgaria, they didn't really want to do this, but they had aligned themselves with the Nazis. So they sent it on out. When the people of Bulgaria, and particularly Christians, found out about it, they were in an uproar. They are enraged about this. And they told their Jewish friends that we're not going to let this happen without a fight. Now, they didn't fight physically. They protested. They refused to allow this to happen. Now, the Jews are already being rounded up and placed in camps that were holding places before they took them on to the concentration camps. But the people rose up. The people decided that they were not going to allow this to happen. And they spoke out against it. And a few months later, the representative, the Nazi representative that was in Bulgaria, wrote back to Germany, and he said, "The people here are not enlightened the way we're enlightened. They seem to have been enlightened by the teachings of Jesus that says, love your neighbor as yourself. Do good to those who persecute you. Love. Do unto others as you would do unto yourself." So you'd have them do unto you, basically. Golden rule. Not actually scriptural. I mean, it is scriptural, but it's not actually a Bible verse. And because they were enlightened by the gospel of Jesus Christ, although 6,000, at least 6,000 Jews and other people were exterminated by the Nazis, in Bulgaria, there was 49,000 Jews. Not one of them was harmed. God's people can make a difference. God's people all are called to every area of society. And I thank God for the calling that He's placed on your life, whoever you are and whatever you're doing. I thank God that He has placed you in a position that you can make a difference in this area. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We've been talking about being rescued, being an everyday hero. But you know, Jesus Christ came so that we can all be saved. And the salvation is that we get, if we receive Christ as our personal Savior, we get to spend eternity with our God. And the Word of God says it's very simple. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, that all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. I'm going to ask everyone, just bow your head. If you're here this morning and you've never made that commitment to recognize that Jesus was God in the flesh and he came and died for your sins, and you'd like to, if you'll raise your hand, I'm going to pray with you. He's the ultimate hero. He did it all. He took our sins upon himself so that we wouldn't have to suffer and die. He received it. Now all you have to do is receive it. If there's anyone. I'm going to take it to everyone here this morning as a believer. If not, let me say this. Anytime you cry out to God through his Son Jesus Christ and you want to receive him, you can do it no matter where you are. It's not just a church building thing. It's a decision that you make to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day and all the things that you've allowed us to be involved with, for stirring our spirit. Help us, Lord God, to rise up, to take serious the responsibility that we have to serve you on a daily basis. As we continue to honor and respect our public servants, Lord. Touch their lives. Minister to them. Lead them. Direct them. Let them know that you are present in everything that they do. We just want to give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.